Glad for our visitors today. I mean, you're not totally brand new visitors, any of you, but we're glad you're here. You're part of the family, whether you're here all the time or not. So we're glad you're here. You're going to be blessed today. Today is Communion Sunday, and I've switched things up just a little bit. We're going to have communion at the end of the service. So I trust that you'll stay for that part because it's a really good part. Hallelujah. Okay, you ready for the word? Okay, bear with me. It's been a while since I've been in this position, so I just am believing God for help. Hallelujah. So let's say our favorite verse together. I was going to have you close your eyes, but since we have visitors, I won't make them feel uncomfortable that everybody's got their eyes shut. But we should know this by heart now because it's such a part of our lives. But it's 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph and Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And you know what's going on right now. The fragrance of the knowledge of God is just being spread throughout our land because of us following Jesus in triumph in him, and that is what has got people so stirred up, because there's some people that don't like the smell. It's a beautiful fragrance to us. We love it when we hear people talking about Jesus and lifting up the word of God and all these things. It just smells so good to us, but there's some out there that it just is a stench in their nostrils. But praise God, they can change their nostrils and they can begin to enjoy, or otherwise they're just going to be living in a whole lot of smell for a good while. Praise God. God's told us we've got good things, better than what's going on right now, better things yet to come. What a promise. What a promise. Think about that. I mean, sometimes that sounds so impossible that it could get better. But it's going to get better because God is going to make it better. Not because we're going to do anything to, quote, make it happen. God is working to make things better and set things right with him. It's going to be a great time. And we have to stir ourselves up to believe that, because the tendency is to not believe that, to just think that that's just impossible, that's just somebody's good idea, that's what we really would wish would happen. But it's what God has been saying to people all around the country that's going to happen. It's going to get better. It's going to be wonderful. Good things in God. And if we stay in him, we're going to enjoy him. Amen? So if you want to be able to enjoy him, stay in Jesus. Stay tight with him. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to share some things today concerning communion, since it is Communion Sunday. I know probably, what has it been, maybe 2 years ago, I might have shared some on it about the blood covenant, but I'm not going quite in that direction today. But as I was going over these scriptures, the Lord just stirred them up in my heart, and I believe this is what he wants us to share today. So we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 31. And don't be alarmed how this scripture ends, because it's all going to work out okay, but it has a few serious notes in it. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So we're going to look at the communion elements today. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, it says, it refers to it as the cup of blessing, is the blood of Christ, and the bread that we break is the body of Christ. And we're familiar with that. We are familiar with it just as a religious tradition, just as a religious doctrine, something that we know that that's what it represents. But this word communion, it says when we are having communion with the blood of Christ and with the body of Christ, it means partnership, participation. It's not just a sacrament. A sacrament's not a bad word, but it's not just a religious ritual. It's not something that just church people do. It is the partnership and the participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I thought as I was studying this that this is such a good follow-up to the messages that we've just had on the cross of Christ, that this is the fellowship we have with the cross of Christ through the communion elements. So this is some things we're going to take a look at today. In Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, I'll share that with you. I know I have a lot of scriptures today, so it's a good thing we have them on the wall, or you wouldn't have time to turn to all of them. But in Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus carried our sicknesses, our diseases, our pains, our hurts, our mental torment, our punishment. He took all of that on his body. This is what the communion is about. This is us beginning to fellowship with that. Because when he did this, it was for us. It wasn't because of him. He was taking our place. When he was crucified and died on the cross, he was taking what should have happened to us for our sin. He was taking our place, but we get to participate in what he accomplished in taking that for us. Praise God, we didn't have to go through that. We didn't have to experience being killed for our sin, because the penalty of sin is death. Even just little white lies, just crosswords, the penalty for it's death. Perfection is the only standard God accepts. So anything less than perfection is done away with. But Jesus was that perfect sacrifice, and in his death on the cross, we get to participate in that. Instead of us having to do the dying, we get to participate in what he did for us. And in that, we get the results of what he accomplished for us. Praise God. Isn't that good news? Praise the Lord. Let's look at Matthew 26 quickly. Maybe I'm the one that would take all the time to find it in my Bible. You guys already have it on the wall. Matthew 26, 26 to 28. "As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" The blood of the covenant in this process of communion is for the remission of sins. Remission has a lot of meanings. It means freedom. means we have freedom from sin. The Bible tells us we have been set free from the power of sin so that it doesn't have dominion over us. When you get tempted to sin, you have power. If you are in Jesus, you have the ability to resist. You don't have to sin. And sometimes we think, well, that's not possible. That's what the Bible says. One place in the Bible says, I write these things to you so that you don't sin. We have the ability to overcome and to not yield to sin. We have that freedom. We have deliverance. We have forgiveness or pardon. This forgiveness means the release from punishment. This covenant in this act of communion in the blood of Christ, it releases us from the punishment that belonged to us for sin. We've been set free from that. It's to cancel the penalty of it. And one of the things that I wanted to point out in this is that forgiveness is not just God accepting your apology. A lot of times, because of the grace message, things have kind of gotten a little casual with God because we think now that we have grace, God isn't holding our sin against us, and he's not. Praise the Lord for that. But it doesn't mean that there isn't sin happening. And we kind of can develop this attitude of, oh, well, I'm already forgiven. It was no big deal. It's not just God accepting an apology. It's still a big deal. He's just not holding the big deal against us. Because of what Jesus has done through his death and resurrection, he has borne the punishment. He has dealt with what we should have received for any of those little sins. So we don't want to take things lightly. It's not just an apology to God. We need to remember that Jesus' death on the cross is what we deserved for every little sin. And God's not saying, it's okay, don't worry about it. He's saying, the blood of my son has paid this price. Because of him, you can be free. Because of him, this doesn't have to come on you. And praise God, we don't have to bear those things. But we don't want to treat forgiveness casually like it's not really a big deal to God when we sin. Because we tend to just continue to do it if that's what we think it is. If we think about, you know, well, God doesn't hold our sin against us, you know, it's no big deal, I'm already forgiven, then we just kind of think, well, it doesn't matter what I do, and we can get lax in our walk with God. And we don't want to do that, because God still wants us to walk holy and pure. It's not that because he's done this for us, because Jesus has taken our place and made us right with God, he's not saying, so just go ahead and live like anything. Just do whatever you want. He's not saying that at all. He's just saying, the price has been paid. Every little flaw, every little time that we mess up in any way, shape, or form, big or small, he's saying, somebody's paid for that. And this is what communion is about, is to remember somebody's paid for it. And that somebody is Jesus. Amen? The bread and the cup, which represent the body and the blood, are the elements of the new covenant in Jesus' blood that he's made with us. And he won't break that covenant. Jesus is not going to go back on his word. He's always going to be faithful to it, whether we appropriate it or not. It's never going to wear out or be withdrawn or be given up. Jesus is always, always, always going to be faithful to his part of this covenant, because it's a one-sided covenant. God had two-sided covenants when he gave other covenants in the past. The old covenant, the covenant of the law, that's a two-sided covenant. If you hold up your end of the bargain, then I'll do this. But under this new covenant, God is saying, I'm never going to withdraw. It is always available. The blessing of life in Jesus is always available to you. always. Now, whether we appropriate it or not is up to us. But it's always there. We don't have, all we have to do is believe and receive. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to be perfect in everything we do. I mean, we want to live as right as we can, but we know there's areas where we miss it. But God is always going to be faithful to this covenant. Now, in 1 Corinthians here in our scripture that we read, in verses 24 and 25, Jesus talks about, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance means to call to mind or to be mindful. So when we take the bread and cup today, this isn't just what we do to take communion. It's not just a formal activity. We're to remember why we're doing it. We're to remember, to call to mind, and to be mindful, to deliberately remember. Not just, oh yeah, it's deliberate. We need to be deliberate remembering what Jesus did for us. The re part of remembrance, in the Greek, it's a couple of words combined, and the re part means repetition and intensity. So this remembering, this deliberate remembering what Jesus has done and what he accomplished for us is to be deliberate and intense. It's not like, oh yeah, Jesus died for my sins. It's, yes, Jesus died for my sin. I don't have to bear the punishment of sin day after day after day forever. I don't have to bear it because Jesus did this for me. It's an intentional intensity and a repetition. In Luke 22:19 is another scripture that refers to remembrance, but it has a little something else in it. Not only does it have this repetition and intensity, the re part of remembrance, but the other part of that word means to stay. It means to abide, to continue, to dwell, or be present, or remain. When Jesus is saying, do this in remembrance of me, he's saying, I want you to be intense about this. I want you to repeatedly remember this and bring this to mind, deliberately bring it to mind. I want you to abide in this. I want you to stay in this communion. Whether you're going through the motions of taking the bread and the cup, you won't be doing that every moment of the day. But he's saying, I want you to stay in that. I want you to stay in what has happened in that covenant, in that bread and cup. I want you to live there. I want you to dwell in that, to be present in that. So this is something that we should always be mindful of, not just on our four times a year that we do it. Now, some churches do communion every Sunday, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some, like us, just do it on certain days a year or certain special occasions of the year. It's not how many times you do it. It's stay in it. When you do it, stay in that communion, stay in that remembrance of what Jesus has done for us through his blood and through his body, that he bore our sins, he bore our sickness and disease, he bore our torment, he bore the punishment, all of that stuff, sin and disease and weakness and pain and torment, all of that is part of the punishment of sin. It's the result of sin, because the punishment is death, and all those things are part of death. And Jesus took all that for us, as well as taking the sin itself in his body. So praise God, he has done this for us, and he wants us to remain in this. Verse 26 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says that every time we do this, whether you do it every day, once a month, four times a year, however many times you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That proclaim means to declare, that you can speak it out or that way, or to show it. It means to display what has taken place. When we live in the results of the communion, our health, our peace of mind, our freedom from sin, our ability to resist temptation, all those things are a display of the body and the blood of Jesus. That's what that communion, as I said, that's what we're proclaiming. We are showing this is what fellowship in Jesus' death, communion in his death and resurrection, is doing for us. That's the results of it. It also means to deliver a message from God like an angel does. We're saying something when we receive communion and when we display it in our life like that, the results of it. And when an angel delivers a message from God, what usually happens? The message comes to pass. It comes true. When God sends a message through an angel, it happens. So this is what we can do. As we have fellowship in this communion, we can begin to experience the results of the communion as a display, as a declaration. It's like a message from God coming true right in front of us. And sometimes we need to know that it comes true in front of us before it even gets to be true in front of others. We need for that message to be true. Amen? Okay, couple of verses here now that get just a little bit touchy, but I want to just look at them a little bit because we're going to take communion and we want to make sure that we consider these things. Verse 27 in our main passage here of 1 Corinthians 11 says, "Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." That is an interesting thing. I'm going to read on through these verses again and then I'll share some things with you. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Now that's a heavy verse. That's probably one of the verses that we don't want to know what it means because it sounds pretty bad. But it's all about fellowshipping and participating in the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. If we will let it have its way in us, then we're going to be strong and healthy and not die early. We're going to live a long, satisfied life and fulfill all the will of God. We're going to be able to overcome these things that attacks our body. We're going to have victory in those areas. I want to share a couple more passages of scripture with you. I'll try to go as quick as I can. But, you know, I might just run over just because I don't want you to feel weird. Because you're used to that, right? I don't want you to feel weird. So I might just, you know, have to take a minute or two. But Matthew 22, 2 through 8. Jesus was giving a parable. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared a dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy.'" Now, Acts 13, verse 46 is an interesting passage that I believe the Lord showed this to me. I don't know how long ago it's been, but connected this account, this parable in Acts, verse 46 of Acts 13. Paul and Barnabas had been preaching to the Jews, and they grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." And we know that the word of God came to the Jews first. This message of the cross was to them first. They were God's people. They were the first ones with the opportunity to take advantage of the cross and the blood and the cup. And unfortunately, there were many of them that were rejecting it. And Paul says, it was necessary about the word of God that it should be spoken to you, the truth of this word. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Think about that. When we don't believe what the word says, when we don't believe what Jesus has done here in the bread and the cup for us, in his death and resurrection, when we don't believe that, we're judging ourselves unworthy. Jesus isn't saying we're unworthy. God isn't saying we're unworthy. We've judged ourselves unworthy because we won't take it. For whatever reason, you know, maybe we just have our own ideas of what we want to do, or maybe we just think we're unworthy, that our sin is too bad, it can't be fixed by what Jesus did on the cross, for whatever reason. But if we refuse to believe what was accomplished, what God is offering, if we refuse the invitation, like the king that was inviting the people to the wedding of his son, if we refuse the invitation, we are making ourselves unworthy by refusing. And I believe this is what relates to this section here that Paul is talking about, that if you take the bread and the cup in an unworthy manner, if you take it and you're just doing what you've been taught to do, maybe you were raised in church and you had communion every so often, and you just do it because that's what you do. Maybe if that's what you're doing, maybe you don't really believe that what Jesus did was enough to fix your mess. Maybe you think you've fouled up life so bad that it just can't be fixed. Maybe you've sinned in a way that you just don't think anything could make it better. You don't think it's ever possible for things to turn around for you. Maybe everything you've ever done has always failed. Maybe it just seems like the world just beats you up all the time. It doesn't have to be that way. You can believe what Jesus did in the bread and the cup. You can believe what he did on the cross. Don't let yourself and count yourself as unworthy because you won't believe what he did. We want to believe what Jesus did. And it says here that if you eat and drink in an unworthy manner, you're taking judgment to yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. If you are not believing what the bread and the cup accomplished, what the sacrifice of Jesus accomplished, you're taking judgment to yourself because you're saying the sacrifice wasn't enough. It wasn't sufficient to fix me. It wasn't sufficient to undo my sin mess. It wasn't sufficient to heal my body. It wasn't sufficient to give me peace. It wasn't sufficient. It wasn't enough. I mean, you know, I know Jesus did it, but it's just not working for me. Then if that's what you think, the judgment that comes on you, the things that don't work out for you, is because Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough, and his sacrifice is the only way out. His sacrifice is the answer to all of our issues, the answer to everything. It was his sacrifice. And if we say his answer isn't enough, then we're going to be guilty of his death and crucifixion because we won't accept what he's doing. We won't accept the free gift that he's offering. We're turning down our invitation to the wedding feast, and we don't want to do that. So we, as we look at this today, you know, it's serious. It says, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep or dead. They've died early because they haven't taken this seriously. They haven't realized, this is what Jesus did for me. It's more than just so I could say, Jesus, come into my heart and get born again. He took all the punishment, all the junk that we deal with in this life is the result of sin. Not always your sin, just sin. Once it entered the world, death entered the world. And it's messed up everything since then. It messes up situations. It messes up minds. It messes up bodies. It messes up relationships. It's just sin. Now, if it's yours, well, then you got to, you know, acknowledge that. But the price has still been paid. You can still be free. So as we prepare our hearts today, let's make sure that as we take the bread and cup today, that we do it with the realization and the remembrance, this is what Jesus did for me. And now I get to take his life into me. I get to live with his life, with the power of his spirit, with the wisdom that he gives. I can have all this for me as I participate in this. And as it takes effect in my life, then I can declare it. My life will declare it. I mean, I'm sure all of you have someone that you know that just is the epitome of what you think Jesus would be like because of how much they love God and love Jesus, and they're just holy and pure. And it's just like, that's what a Christian's supposed to look like. Well, we can be that. We can be that. Amen. Let's have our attendants come forward, and we're going to share in the bread and cup. We're going to apply what Jesus has done for us. He took all these things on our behalf, and we're going to receive it, and we're going to believe it. Now, if you don't have an instant manifestation today, don't quit believing. Keep believing. Dwell in it. Jesus says, in remembrance of me, stay there. Stay there with your faith. Stay in those places. Thank you. Stay in those places. We start with the body of Jesus. Jesus bore our sickness and disease, our aches and pains, our sorrows. He bore those things in his body on the cross. Think about that. Every situation you're dealing with in your body, in your mind, all of that, he took that upon himself in order to carry it away so we wouldn't have to bear it. And he says, remember this. Remember, dwell in this. I remember maybe, I don't know, a year or so ago, the Lord just put it in my heart that the healing of our bodies is the manifestation of the forgiveness of our sin, of the being set free from sin. This is what the body of Jesus has accomplished for us. And if we'll live there, if we'll dwell in what he has accomplished with his body and the price that he paid with his body, if we will live there, we can begin to experience the reality of that in our bodies. We can begin to walk in healing in our bodies. Isn't that awesome? Meditate on that. The healing of my body is the evidence of the forgiveness of my sins. And it's not when you see sickness in your body, well, gee, maybe my sins aren't forgiven. It isn't that at all. It's just that we've separated them, and we know our sins are forgiven, but we haven't really learned from what Jesus did that healing came with that forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you sent Jesus to pay the price for our sin. We thank you, Jesus, that you took every sickness and disease and sorrow and pain and torment in your body on the cross. You took it all in your body so that we could be free. Jesus, we believe this today. We believe that you did this for us. And we remember this today and are deliberate about it, that because of what you did with your body, taking all those things from us, we can be free. So we thank you, Jesus, for taking our place on the cross, for carrying these things away, that we could be healed today. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the bread. After they took of the bread that Jesus had broken at the Passover, Jesus took the cup and the wine, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is the covenant I am making with you. I am paying the price for your sin, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. We are being set free from sin through the blood that Jesus gave. His was perfect blood. He was sinless, the sinless, spotless lamb that satisfied the requirement of heaven for sin to be completely destroyed. And we have this covenant today. So as we take this cup today, we want to remember that our sin has been completely remitted and done away. The punishment for it has been removed. We've been pardoned. The jail door is open. We don't have to stay in bondage in any way anymore. He's opened the way for us to be completely free. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again. As we partake of the cup, we receive this as the blood of Jesus shed for us. We thank you, God, that was the perfect, spotless Lamb of God's blood that satisfied the heavenly requirement necessary for sin to be done away with. We thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to pour out your blood on our behalf to do away with our sin, that you were willing to go in our place and to bear all this punishment for us so that we could just live in you by faith and enjoy all the benefits of it. We thank you, Jesus, for this price that you paid. We thank you for this covenant, your faithfulness to it, and we receive it as a complete cleansing and doing away with our sin right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may take the cup. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let's stand. Praise you, Father. Father, we thank you today that you have called us into fellowship and participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ through the bread and the cup. We thank you today, Father, that as we took the elements of communion, that we made a specific and deliberate decision to believe in what Jesus has done for us. That when we walk out of here today, we walk out as free people, free from sin, free from sickness and disease, free from punishment for sin, free from torment, free from all these things. Father, we're going to hold on to these things. We're going to remember them, Jesus. We're going to do this in remembrance of you. And we're going to call this to mind every day. We're going to remember, Jesus, that you have done these things for us. That we have life in your name. That we've been made pure and right and holy in the sight of God. We've been cleansed of all sin, forgiven of all sin. And that you've made healing available to us. That in our spirit man, right now, we are completely healed and whole. And Jesus, I just ask you to help us appropriate these things by faith, that they would begin to manifest in our bodies. They would begin to manifest in our souls. They would begin to manifest in our life, that we would become living, breathing proclamations of the death of Jesus until he returns. That people could see what Jesus actually did on the cross for us. That it wasn't just some death. It was a complete exchange. We gave up our life of sin for your life of righteousness and purity and holiness, God. We thank you and praise you for it today. We thank you, God, that we are free in this nation today because of what Jesus has done to set us free, to set our nation free, that we can live in the fullness of the blessings of the resurrection of the life of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. And don't tell Gordon that you got out early.